This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America, a Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
My dear friends, we continue today to look at the covenant of grace, and now especially the work of the Holy Spirit in the covenant. You may remember that we have defined the covenant of grace as that relationship of friendship and fellowship that God establishes with His elect people in Jesus Christ. There are two human relationships that mirror God's relationship to us. There is the intimacy of our marriages. There, the love between a husband and a wife. There is also, in Scripture, the Christian family, where father and mother and children dwell together in love. In our passage from Romans chapter 8, we have a picture of God with His children. I read from Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." What this passage is teaching regarding the Holy Spirit in the covenant is this: the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, assures us that we are children of God. We read in Romans 8, verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God." We cry out, "Abba, Father." Where does that cry come from? That cry comes, it is originated by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, poured out on His church. We have received the Spirit of adoption. Assurance that we are God's children is evidenced in that cry, "Abba, Father." There are churches that have replaced in their Bibles and in the Apostles' Creed the words, "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son," with a new phrase, "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son." What is incorrect with that? Well, the truth is that God has many sons and daughters in His covenant. They are adopted sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, God graciously adopts to Himself many children. What a family He has! God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. And we are, by adoption, made God's sons and daughters. The cry from our lips, "Abba, Father," is the evidence that we are children of God. Like little children, when they see their father, cry out, "Daddy!" So the child of God, in excitement, in love, or perhaps in trouble, cries out, "Abba, Father." Where did that phrase come from? We find it three times in the Bible. First, in Mark 14, verse 36, the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane cries, "Abba, Father." Then in Galatians 4, verse 6, the Spirit Himself cries, "Abba, Father." Now in our passage, Romans 8, verse 15, God's children say it. It apparently was used by the early church because Jesus Christ used it. But also, the church, made up of Gentiles and Jews, used this Aramaic word for father. It is a very intense expression of the word father. As a little child spontaneously cries out to his parent, so also the child of God spontaneously cries out to his Father in heaven. This is not just a cry from his lips, but it is a cry from our hearts. By saying Father, we are expressing our assurance that God loves us. We are expressing the confidence that God forgives our sins. For we cannot say and we cannot feel that God loves us unless you know that He has forgiven your sins. It is the confidence that God says of us, mine, my children whom I love. It is also the expression that we love God. Oh, the smile on the little child's face when they see their parent. They love him. They want to be held by him and be cared for by him. And since God has many sons and daughters in his family, as we love God our Father, so also we love our fellow brothers and sisters. One cannot say, I have a relationship with God in Jesus Christ, but I have no need for the church. No, no, no. God saves a church. God has a family. All those who love the Father love those who are belong to Him. We read in Romans 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And in Romans 8, verse 15, ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is a fact. So the question comes to you and to me, do you say this? Do you cry out, Abba, Father? It is a question whether we belong to the church or whether we've been baptized. Those are not the questions. This is the heart question. In your heart, do you have the assurance that God loves you? That God says of you, mine, my son, my daughter. Perhaps you say, but I'm a terrible sinner. But God has forgiven me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just as when children in our human families disobey or are rebellious, their parents do not disown them. Their sins don't break the relationship of a parent and a child. So also our sins do not break God's eternal covenant with us. God has chosen us to be His children in eternity. God sent His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, to redeem us. And God gives us His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of adoption, to dwell in our hearts. We have received that Spirit, and He works in us. Notice from our text, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What does that mean? By nature, we were under the spirit of bondage, trying to do something to appease God, trying to do something for God, not because we loved Him, but were afraid of Him. If you look at all the non-Christian religions, they are afraid of their gods. They try to appease His wrath. They try to work for Him so that they can hopefully not endure His wrath in this world or the next. Paul writes, we have not received that spirit again. Once apart from Christ, yes, there was fear. But now we have the spirit of adoption. What a beautiful picture adoption is when a family or a couple choose and take a child who was not their own and legally make that child their child. What a wonderful thing for that child. Well, usually it is. Stories are told, of course, of the orphan trains. Children sent on a train hoping to find homes and families for them. Sadly, some of those children were chosen by farmers who wanted a son or sons who could work hard for them. They became virtual slaves. What fear for those children. But how happy when a couple want in love to take in a parentless child or a child whose parents were not capable of caring for them. Maybe they had special needs. God makes us who were no children His children, He says, mine. Adopted in His eternal counsel, realized in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the blessing received by faith, and it will be completely fulfilled when Jesus comes again. God says before all, mine. That, beloved, is the covenant of grace. We receive that Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, poured out on Christ's church at Pentecost. The Spirit comes and gives new life and new hearts to those who are dead in sin. The Spirit unites us to Jesus Christ, causes us to know and live for Christ. The mission of the Spirit given to the church, what is it? To tell us that we are children of God. God sends His Spirit through Jesus Christ into the church to assure His children that they are His children. Now you will want to ask, how does the Holy Spirit do that? He uses tools. Like the gardener in his garden has tools. Like the farmer on his farm has tools, like the carpenter or the plumber has tools, so also the Holy Spirit has tools to work and strengthen faith. And they are called the means of grace. What are those tools? What are those means that the Holy Spirit uses? Well, beloved, He uses the preaching of the Word. It is directed to our ears. The Holy Spirit does not in some mystical way speak to each person. Sadly, there are those people who believe that only when they get old, somehow the Spirit whispers mystically in them. And then only by that experience can they be assured that they are children of God and saved. What a terrible, terrible life. If for 70, 80 years they live in fear, not daring to say or believe that they are God's children or saved. Those who believe that refuse to allow their children to pray the Lord's Prayer. They may not call God their Father. What a false, false teaching. What lack of assurance. And also what stinking pride of some. I remember an old lady whose husband just passed away, and she's lamented, oh, I hope he's saved. We don't know at all if he's saved, because he didn't have the kind of experience I have had. I'm saved. The Spirit comes and speaks to us by the preaching of the Word. Not only the outward call of the gospel, but the Holy Spirit works inwardly in God's children, giving them illumined mind so that you understand spiritual things, open ears to hear Christ Jesus, and spiritual eyes to behold their Father in heaven and their Savior Jesus Christ. It's through the preaching of the Word that we have personal assurance that God has chosen us, redeemed us by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we can joyfully cry out, Abba, Father. Joyfully, we fight then against our sins and we strive to live as children of God. We call that sanctification. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit also uses the sacraments. Those are directed to our eyes so that we see pictured exactly what is taught to us by the preaching of the Word. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins. So that means we live together in the church, brothers and sisters who are sons and daughters of God. And as we love the Father, as we have fellowship with Him, so we love also our brothers and sisters and have fellowship with them. Do you see why it's impossible to say, I have a relationship with God, but it's private. I don't need the church. When we are adopted by God, the Spirit applies that relationship to us so that we have fellowship with God and with one another. Perhaps you know or have sung that beautiful hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Do you have that assurance? That is what true faith is, isn't it? A certain knowledge of all that God has revealed in His Word, and also a hearty confidence. Not only that others, but to me also is freely given for Christ's sake, forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and eternal life. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. By grace, children of God, He says, mine. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the work of the Holy Spirit, where He works in us so that we know that Thou dost love us. We know that Thou hast forgiven our sins. We know that by grace we are Thy children, and we conduct ourselves then as children of God. Bless this work. Bless this message to strengthen our faith and our assurance. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.